So I'm just going to read Psalm 150, just kind of ground us a little bit here. And it says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sounding of trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with tambourine and dancing, praise him with the strings and flute, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord."
Today's reading is split into three parts. They're all from the NIV. The first is Leviticus 19, verse 33 to 34. "When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God." The second is Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." And the third is Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 40. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'"
Thank you, Karen. Father God, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. Amen. Or if you all fall asleep, I'll get there. So we're going to be thinking this morning about hospitality. We've had some readings thus far that have kind of just led us into that. So we've had the Leviticus reading about a foreigner. And we've had Jesus' invitation, and we've had thinking about, you know, what does it mean to be hospitable? So the reading in Matthew talks about, you know, how we can be hospitable in practice, in practical ways. Now, there was a survey done recently, and it found that there was something that was more or less an epidemic in the UK that was causing a lot more health problems, premature death, and it was a really serious thing. And I wonder if you can guess what it might be. Loneliness. Very good. Somebody's read me notes here. When you sort of think of things, you might think, well, that's obesity, or that's smoking, or lack of exercise, or stuff like that. But in fact, you're quite right, it's loneliness. And the recent survey showed that 47% of the adult population in the UK have said that they have been lonely at some point, ranging from a bit lonely to distraught in their loneliness. And it's actually quite a problem, because that's a large amount of people. And so what do we do about this? Well, the government have actually set up various schemes, and we actually have a minister for loneliness. She's actually called Baroness Barron, So she does various things, presumably to help with loneliness, including volunteering schemes and all sorts of things like that. And lots of charities do great things as well to try and encourage us to reach out to each other and not have so much loneliness. But the interesting thing is that the church has actually a remedy for loneliness, and that's hospitality. And Jesus taught us all about this. So hospitality comes from the Greek word, and it just means love of strangers. Now, a stranger is a person who is yet to become a friend. So you have to kind of start off in that journey. And so in welcoming people who are different to us, people we don't know that well, we're starting to practice hospitality and actually start off the building of friendships and community. So how do we do this? Well, you learn anything by receiving it first. And our God is a hospitable God. If you think about the Trinity, well, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they live in relationship with each other. They're hospitable to each other. They let each other into their space. And our God doesn't just exist as an invitational God amongst himself. He invites us. John started his prayers with, God invited us today. We're invited. There's an invitation from God. And that is the God of hospitality. If we look in the New Testament, Jesus called the disciples. He said, follow me. Come, come. The presence of hospitality. Come and be with me. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus then kind of reverses it and says, right, I've invited you and I've shown you how to be hospitable by inviting people in. And now I'm going to turn it round and I want you to invite me in. And so this was one of the readings that Carolyn read, and it's from Revelation. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So this is taken from the book of Revelation, which is a book that starts off with letters to the churches around at that time. And this was part of the letter of the church at Laodicea. And they were a bit kind of, lukewarm, well, I don't know, really, might do, might not do. And part of this letter is to say, come on, go for it. Don't be lukewarm, be warm. I'm standing at the door and knocking. I want to come in, let me in. And I will come and be with you. And I will come and eat with you. So I'll do practical things with you, and I will come and be with you. So what does it kind of mean in practice, this? Well, throughout history, people have kind of looked at this idea of God coming in. And Julia of Norwich, who was a famous, she was called an anchoress because she lived in a cell, a little kind of room attached to a church, St. Julian's Church in Norwich. So that's where she took her name from. And that real name wasn't Julian, but she took it from the church. And so it'd be like your church here, and then you've got a little kind of room attached to it outside. And there'd be two windows, one looking out onto the road and one looking into the church. And the idea was that she could partake of the fellowship within the church by looking through her church window. And then on the outside, people could come to her and ask her for wisdom. She was sort of an agony aunt, 13th century agony aunt. And people say, well, I don't know what to do about this, what do you think? And so she would say, well, you know, I'll have a pray, and then she would give them some advice. So you may think, right, that's a very kind of easy thing to do. But at that time, the 13th century in the UK was actually a time of great turmoil. We had plague. We had financial instability. We had people being homeless. Sound familiar? So it wasn't an easy time at all. But here we see Mother Julia of Norwich actually practicing hospitality. you know, sort of welcoming the people in the street in, as well as being part of the church. So she's kind of this halfway kind of house in this cell. So later on, we've got St. John of the Cross, and he was a Spanish monk in the middle of the 16th century. And he described the human soul as the very tabernacle where God dwells, the secret chamber of his retreat where he is hidden. So why did people come and see Mother Julian? Well, because they knew that God lived in her. And so if you spoke to her, it was a bit like speaking to God. And St. John of the Cross says the same, you know, we are the visible presence of Jesus in the world today. And so in some ways, we should be a bit like having the aunts and uncles to the people around us in passing on God's wisdom. So how does this kind of work in practice? Well, some way it's good to have an intentional place where you're with Jesus. Remember, Jesus is knocking at the door, coming in. And I personally have found it's helpful to think of an intentional place where I can be. And this might be a physical place. So some people think of, actually take themselves outside to the countryside and sort of, is there a countryside person? And think, right, this is my place to be with you, God. Might be like Mother Julian, that was her cell. I personally have got a kind of inner cell, a cell in here. And this became very important to me a few years ago when Andy had cancer. And it was a difficult time for us as a family, because Andy was ill. He'd also been made redundant, so there was also that problem as well, and we'd got the children. And so, yeah, things weren't really that easy. And so I prayed to God, God, you just got to find me a way of getting through this. It's all very well you saying that you're there and you'll help me, but I need to have a practical way of actually going through this. And when I prayed that prayer, I had an image, and it was a medieval battleground. And there were knights going back and forwards and jousting, goodness knows what else, and people knocking off people off their horses and what have you, and the white knight and the black knight and the red knight, and, you know, total chaos all over the place. And I recognised that as being my life, where there was a lot of chaos happening at that moment. Now, in the battlefield, there was a medieval tent. And if you went into the tent, then the battlefield was outside. It kind of went round the tent. And so inside the tent, there was just an atmosphere of peace and quiet. And I felt Jesus saying, whenever you need to, you just go into that cell and you spend time with me. And I will restore you and refresh you. And then you can go back out into the chaos. And you can come as much as you like and spend as many times as you like. But this is a place for you and for me. And I found that a tremendously helpful way of praying. And I've since used it many, many times where I've just felt, you know, this is a bit tricky. I just need to go to that place of this medieval tent, and spend time with God. And if there's something I want to ask, and I ask, if there's something I need to pray for, I pray for that thing or that person. If I just want some time out, then I go and I visit that place. So that's, I found, is a very helpful way, and I commend that way of praying to you. So that's perhaps hospitality at a personal level. But whatever God gives to us, it's not just for us. It's for our church family and the world around us. It's for everybody. We pass on what God has given to us. So how do you practice hospitality? How do you welcome strangers? Now, for some people, particularly if you've got an outgoing personality, you might be thinking, yeah, let me at it. And if you're somebody who's an introvert, you might be thinking, no, I don't think so, that's not for me. No. So a lot perhaps might depend on personality and how you extend that hospitality. But it doesn't mean to say you can't be hospitable if you're somebody who finds it difficult to actually, talk to people or whatever. You see, hospitality, one of the ways of doing it is to actually think of it as putting yourself in the other person's shoes. So our daughter works in the hospitality industry, and so she's a pro-hospitality, if you like. So I said to her, well, how do you go about hospitality? What makes good hospitality? And she said, you just simply think of how you were in the other person's shoes. So you put yourself into the shoes of the person you're being hospitable to. And that gives you a clue as to how to go about hospitality. So if somebody new coming into the church, you might like to think, well, how did I feel the first time I came through that door? So putting yourself in the other person's shoes. But also, it's a bit more than that, in that it's not just necessarily hospitality here, it's hospitality in the outside world. And again, for different people, that might mean different things. If you're somebody who just loves inviting people around to your house, then it might be that's your way of doing hospitality, whether it be the church family, whether it be friends, whether it be somebody who's lonely, we just appreciate a cup of tea. That's kind of one way of doing it. However, if you lived in cramped accommodation and that's a bit untidy, and every time you fry an egg, it sticks to a pan, then that might not be the way in which you do hospitality. You see, hospitality is just letting people into your space. And that might be focusing on somebody when they're talking to you, rather than thinking about what you're having for dinner, or the stuff you haven't done, or what you need to get from the shops. You're letting that person into your space by focusing on them. It might be when you walk down the road and you see somebody who looks a bit downcast, just giving them a smile and a good morning. It might be just chatting next to the person on the bus who's a bit lonely and just listening to them. It's just letting people into your space so that you can be with them just as God invited us into his space so that we could be with him. And in doing that, you become a bit like Mother Julian of Norwich, where people are coming to you and you're able to pass on to them the wisdom of God. It might be just listening to start with. It might be saying something. It might be doing something. And this is an incredible, powerful thing to do. If you need anything further convincing, sometimes I think, what happens if I don't do this? And something I heard very interesting in the week on Connect Radio, which is a great radio station that Andy and I listen to, was that what would happen if in the early days of the church, when Jesus was doing his ministry on earth, what would have happened if there was no hospitality? And I thought, don't know, don't understand the question. And then he said, well, if you think about Jesus, he could have been God. You know, he could have said to God, well, how do I do this? Okay, God, can you just build me a palace? And can you just have a couple million pounds in the bank? And that would do me for my 3 years on earth. That would provide for my needs. And at the end of the day, when I've done heavy day preaching, I can go back to the palace and there'd be servants there. And, you know, I can order a fantastic takeaway with £1 million in the bank. But he didn't do that, did he? He didn't have anything. He relied solely on people inviting him to their homes and providing accommodation and providing meals. So without hospitality, Jesus wouldn't have had a ministry. Jesus hadn't had a ministry. We wouldn't know all about the wonderful things that God can do us. And we wouldn't be here today. So what would happen if there wasn't hospitality? So that's a bit about putting yourself in another person's shoes. Right. This is something that I always find very helpful. It's a saying by Maya Angelou. And she is an American kind of philosopher and Christian. And she said, the power of hospitality is this, that people will forget what you've said, which is a bit depressing for a preacher, I know, but there you go. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. So people will forget what you say. They will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. So if we invite people into our space, if we make them feel wanted, that we want them here, that's what they remember. Not clever words or anything like that. So I'd just like to encourage us all this morning just to invite people into our space, wherever that may be, whether it be here now, whether it be later on today, or later on in the week. And then we can start to see just how powerful that warmth of hospitality is and change the world. Right, we're just going to spend a few moments in prayer now. And I'm just going to encourage you to think of this place where you could be with God. Now, it may be that you are still at the stage where Jesus is knocking on the door and you haven't actually let him in. And so if that's you, I'd like just to encourage you to take that step today of inviting Jesus in. You may have lots of questions, but that doesn't matter, because I've still got lots of questions, and I invited Jesus in years ago. But the questions kind of get answered somehow on the way. So if you've invited Jesus in, then I'd like you to think of a place that's kind of your cell, like Mother Teresa had a cell, your room, your medieval tent, your special place where you can be with God. It might be this church building. It might be a room in your house, might be the countryside. Might be somewhere that's just very special to you. And just picture yourself in that place, just sitting there with Jesus. If there's something you want to say, then feel free to say that. If there's something you want to ask, then feel free to ask that. But if you just need to be, then just be. Father God, we just receive the peace of your Holy Spirit, that strengthening. Will you restore us and fill us, enable us to leave this place as changed people? Thank you, Father. And now, as we leave that space, we just think of how we can put into practice hospitality as suits us. Whether we're invitation to our homes, whether we're invitational in listening to somebody by letting them in to our space, or invitational by just a kind word, or something practical to do. And lastly, I pray for the hospitality of this church here. I thank you that already this church family is so good at hospitality. Would you just increase and magnify that gifting, particularly with the building, particularly with the decisions to make, but also on a day-by-day basis. Just increase the hospitality, the love of strangers, people yet to become friends in this place. Thank you, Father. Amen.